Welcome back to the deep dive. So if you're a manager these days, you're probably drowning in data.
Oh, absolutely.
You've got sales figures, inventory metrics, customer feedback. I mean, raw numbers are just pouring in all the time.
Right.
The real challenge isn't getting the data. It's turning that flood of information into something you can actually use, something clear and actionable.
And that's exactly what we're tackling today. We're doing a deep dive into what I think is the essential manager's toolkit. Descriptive statistics.
Okay.
At its core, this is really just a set of tools, numerical and visual, that you use to summarize and organize all that raw data so you can actually understand what you're looking at.
So it's like a translation layer.
Perfect way to put it.
It takes you from this, you know, massive, confusing spreadsheet to the simple, confident answer you need to give.
Exactly. Descriptive statistics tells you what has happened. It's for your operational assessments, your financial reports, analyzing a marketing campaign.
But, and this is a big but, right?
This is critical. These tools describe the past. They don't predict the future, and they certainly don't explain why something happened. They just give you the facts. The rest is up to you.
And for you listening, the goal here isn't to become a human calculator. It's about understanding when to use which tool, you know, for making real decisions about pricing or inventory. So let's start with the most basic concept. Finding the center.
Right. When you look at a huge data set, your first instinct is always, what's the typical value here? And that brings us to measures of central tendency. The undisputed champion here is the mean.
The average, the one we all learned in school.
Very same, the arithmetic average.
And it's popular for a reason. It uses every single data point. So if you want to know the, say, expected daily output of a factory, the mean seems like the obvious choice.
It is. But here's the catch. The mean's greatest strength is also its biggest weakness.
That it includes everything.
It is incredibly sensitive to extreme values, or what we call outliers.
And this is a huge deal for managers because those outliers can be really, really misleading. Let's use that classic example.
The wage example is perfect for this. So imagine a small company, maybe 100 people.
Okay.
98 of them earn somewhere between, say, $40,000 and $70,000. But the CEO and maybe one top engineer, they each make $1 million.
Right.
If you calculate the mean salary, those two huge numbers will pull the average way, way up, far higher than what 98% of your staff actually makes.
So if a manager reports that average salary, it's not just unrepresentative, it could feel pretty dishonest to the team.
It's actively misleading. So if the mean is that vulnerable, you need another tool. And that's where the median comes in.
The median. This is just the middle value.
Simply the middle value, once you've sorted all your data from lowest to highest, it splits the data set into two perfectly equal halves.
And its power is that it just doesn't care about those extreme outliers.
Exactly. It's completely immune to them because it's based on position, not value.
Which makes it really valuable for things like housing prices or anything with high variability.
You got it. Think about real estate in a big city. You have thousands of normal sales. And then one billionaire buys a penthouse for $100 million. That one sale would destroy the mean price.
But the median would barely budge.
It would give you a much more honest picture of the typical market value. Managers use the median when they suspect the data is skewed.
Okay, so that brings us to the last measure of center, the one that's, I think, often overlooked. The mode.
The mode is just the value that shows up most often. And while the mean and median are for numbers, the mode is super versatile. You can use it for numbers and for categorical data.
So strategically, why would a manager care about what's most frequent over what's average?
Because it's all about prioritization.
Yeah.
Let's say you're in logistics. The mode wouldn't be the average delivery time. It might be the most common reason for a delay.
Ah, like damaged package or customs issue.
Exactly. If damaged package is your mode, you know exactly where to focus your resources to get the biggest improvement. It points you directly to the most common problem or, on the flip side, the most popular product.
Okay, that makes sense. So we found the center. But like we said, two teams can have the same average output, but one is totally predictable and the other is just chaos.
Complete chaos, yeah.
So that brings us to our next big idea, moving from just the average to understanding consistency. Or, you know, risk. We have to measure the fluctuation.
Right. You have to understand the spread or the dispersion of your data. The first tools for this are quartiles.
Now, quartiles sound a bit technical, but they're really just signposts, aren't they?
They're just markers. They divide your sorted data into four equal chunks. You have Q1, the 25th percentile, Q2, which is the median,
the 50th percentile,
and Q3, the 75th percentile. They just help you see where the bulk of your data actually is.
And how does that help a manager make a decision?
Well, it shows you the shape of your performance. If Q1 and Q3 are really far apart, that's a red flag. It tells you there's a huge range in performance. Maybe project completion times are all over the place, which suggests you've got an efficiency problem.
And if you take those markers, Q3 minus Q1, you get the interquartile range, the IQR.
Yes, and the IQR is a fantastic measure of stability. Since it only looks at that middle 50% of your data, it ignores all the wild outliers at the top and bottom.
So a small IQR is good. It means things are consistent.
Very good. It means predictable, stable performance. A large IQR means inconsistency, and that's something you need to investigate right away.
But when we're talking about really quantifying risk, especially financial risk, the big one is standard deviation.
Well, SD is indispensable. It's a number that tells you how much your data tends to deviate from the mean. A low SD means consistency, low risk.
Yeah.
A high SD
means high risk, lots of fluctuation.
It's the difference between being confident in your forecast and just, well, guessing.
Let's make this real with an example. How can a high SD hide behind a perfectly fine-looking average?
Okay, think of a restaurant chain. Let's say they base all their staffing and food orders on the mean number of daily customers, which is, say, 500.
Sounds reasonable so far.
But what if their standard deviation is 150? That means one day they might get 650 people and the next only 350. The average is 500, but the reality is a nightmare.
They're constantly overstaffed and wasting food, or they're completely understaffed and getting terrible reviews.
The fluctuation is killing their profitability. The SD shows you the unpredictability that the mean completely hides.
That's a great example. So you do all this amazing analysis. You've got your mean, your median, your IQR, this high standard deviation. But now you have to explain it to someone who doesn't care about the math.
Right. You can't just walk into a board meeting and say, the SD is 150.
You'll get blank stares.
Exactly. Communication is the final crucial step. And that's where we move to visual tools, starting with the workhorse. The bar chart.
Bar charts. Simple, effective for comparing different categories.
Their strength is comparison, full stop.
Right.
Which product is selling best? Which region is underperforming? A bar chart shows you the winners and losers at a single glance.
And then there's the one everyone loves to use, the pie chart.
Ah, the pie chart. It's great for showing parts of a whole, like market share or budget allocation.
Mm.
It gives you a quick, intuitive sense of proportion. But, and this is a big but, you have to be so careful with them.
Careful why? They seem so simple.
They are. But that's the problem. They're terrible for detailed comparisons. If one slice is 21% and another is 23%, your eye can't really tell the difference.
So if a key decision hangs on that 2% difference, the pie chart will actually mislead you.
It'll make the gap look insignificant. And if you have too many slices, it's just a useless, cluttered mess.
This gets into the strategy of visualization, doesn't it? Choosing the right chart for the story you need to tell.
It's everything. A line chart is great for showing a trend over time. A scatter plot is perfect for seeing if there's a relationship between two different things.
Mm.
But for high-level audiences who need the key message fast, you often turn to infographics.
Infographics combine everything, right? Charts, icons, text.
They're the ultimate summary tool. They prioritize storytelling and clarity over granular detail. An infographic can say, sales are up 15%, and show a big green arrow, and the executive gets the message instantly. They're distillation masters.
Okay, let's pull all this together. We have the whole toolkit now. Finding the center, measuring the spread, and showing the results. What's the big picture value here for a manager?
I'd say it's about two things, efficiency and evidence.
Yeah.
You simplify massive amounts of data, which lets you spot trends and patterns quickly, and you get to make evidence-based decisions, you know, with real numbers to back you up.
Plus, you can actually assess risk with things like quartiles and standard deviation.
A huge part of it, but we have to remember the limits.
Right. What are the big pitfalls to avoid?
Well, first, this is all past data. It doesn't predict the future. Second, it tells you what happened, but it never, ever tells you why.
You still need the human element for that. Market research, talking to customers.
You absolutely do. And finally, you could still be misled. If you choose the wrong measure, like using the mean when you have a ton of outliers, you're going to get a distorted picture.
So the manager's real job isn't the calculation, it's the interpretation.
That's a whole game. You have to apply your business knowledge and your strategic goals to these numbers. You have to ask the right questions. What does our median salary tell us about fairness? What do the mode of customer complaints tell us about our biggest problem? The stats are the foundation, but the judgment call is yours.
So descriptive statistics gives you the hard facts about the past, which sets the stage for basically every strategic move you make for the future.
And that leads perfectly to our final thought for you to take away. If you use standard deviation every day to quantify financial risk, think about this. What other critical part of your business are you currently judging just by its mean? Go look closer at your data. What crucial insights about inconsistency or fairness or hidden instability might the median or the inner quartile range show you if you just took the time to look beyond that comfortable, simple average? That's where the real opportunities and the real risks are hiding.